People ask me all the time, so Rich, how did you end up becoming a comedian? And I always say, why do you say end up? Like I made a mistake. It's kind of a polite conversation you have with a tramp. So, fella, how'd you end up in a skip? It's the most fantastic job in the world, right? You make people laugh, you, fella, with all that stress on your face. Look at you sitting in the front row trying to get the jokes before anyone else. How desperate are you for comedy, my friend? Well, you people bricks put... Oh, I'm sorry. What? I wasn't expecting a response. Do you work?
I'm a student.
A student. All right. No more questions, Your Honor. It's very easy. No heavy lifting. Yeah. Why don't you think about being a comedian? What are you studying?
History.
History. That goes back a long time, doesn't it? Why don't you try American history? A couple hundred years. Boom, you're done. Listen, here's the thing, all right? You just say intelligent things stupidly. That's all there is to being a comedian. Or maybe it's stupid things intelligently. It's not rocket surgery. I'll tell you that right now. That's what I get asked all the time. So I bet you were the class clown. Were you the class clown? Screw you. Why would you suggest I took a childhood disorder and turned it into a career, you prick? No one ever says to a hooker, were you the class whore? I bet you were the class whore, weren't you? Let the mystery be. I love watching Brits snap. That is the greatest thing in the world. When a Brit snaps, you don't even know they've snapped. It's not like Americans who take out 8 or 9 people with a high-powered rifle because they're social animals. Brits snap and you go, 2 hours later thinking, I think that guy snapped while I was talking to him. At that point where he crushed the pint glass with his hand, he was a bit pissed off. That's why when it comes to a war on terror, something we invented, the war on terror, because Brits would never have a war on terrify, because what's not terrifying to Brits? Everything. They just don't show it, right? Brit, you've had giants plucking your daughters out of villages a couple thousand years ago. Look that one up, history boy. It's true. So the basic British reaction to anything terrifying is this. How much is this going to cost? You can't really terrify. That's why I'm pretty sure the war, the whole terrorism thing, I think the terrorists have just kind of given up on Britain, because what can they possibly do, right? Listen, I would never compare the scopes of tragedy of, say, the World Trade Center to the bombs that blew up in London, but the reaction is completely different, right? America still has this entire culture of fear about terrorism. It's basically manifests itself by terror alerts being scrolled across the bottom of the TV screen by color. No explanation whatsoever. Just today's terror alert is orange. Now back to our show. What was that? What does that mean? Orange, that's hunting accidents, roadworks, right? That's not good. It means be very, very aware of terror. So dwell on it now and then. Whereas in Britain, they blow up the buses in London. Next day, people are back at the bus stop waiting for the bus, right? And complaining about it because they're Brits. Bus is late. I mean, it's late. The one yesterday blew up. Yeah, well, that was yesterday. Today's today. I live in the present, and the bus is late. That's why when you watch a Brit snap, right, you got to get really close to them. They'll pick a high street and just corkscrew for a while. That's not even knowing what direction to what direction is corkscrew anyway? This is bullshit. And then you get too close, and then you get sucked into the vortex, right? Are you okay? That moment when a Brit truly snaps and it looks like this. I'm gonna write a letter. That's it. I've been pushed to the brink, you bastard. Nobody treats me like this, you son of a bitch. Huh? I'm not emailing this, I'm writing this. Wait till you get that tomorrow. Big red pillar box right in the mail. Postal strike.
I'm married to a comedian. Did you know? John Richardson. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know who he is. Do you know, because I'm going on tour, my management company, they took a Facebook advert out and someone said, don't read the comments. So I did. There was just one that bothered me, and this guy had put, without trying to be too crude, how many has she had to suck to get the career she's got? I mean, the answer's one, but... That's weird to applause that, isn't it? It's only weird for my granddad who's watching. That's not weird. You've made that weird for an 87-year-old. Anyway, but the thing, because I don't know whether you've noticed, but I've started to do a bit of telly now, and then I'm in this weird stage where I'm getting recognised, but I'm not used to it yet. And I walked in a pub last night, and there was a woman staring at me, and I thought, what are you fucking looking at? And then I realised, oh, it's me. I did, you know Michael McIntyre's The Wheel? Have you seen it? The game show? I lost someone £98,000. No. And then, if you've seen the show, you know they go back down in the ground. When he went down, he turned to me and said, I've had a lovely day, thank you. That would have slapped me. We're both vegan now. I'm a vegan that likes steak for the iron. And John's a vegan when he's interviewed on TV. I know. It's a weird life for him, though. You know, as you've seen it through his eyes, the situations we're getting for, because he's been on TV 10 years. We went and did this gig, you know, in a school. And then we parked up and he turned to me and he said, I've got to go. And I was like, oh, all right then, just wait till you get in. He was like, I've got to go now. And he didn't let me get out. He got on the back seat and luckily we had a bucket because we've been to Seaside. We've got blacked out windows. And I got out and there was two of his fans waiting for him. And they said, we've come all the way from Rotherham to see John. They said, where is he? I said, he's shitting in a bucket in the... in the back of the car. And they said at the same time, we'll wait. But yeah, but we're both vegan. And then when we go out for a nice meal, I'll order the steak. For the iron. And he'll order butternut squash. And then he'll be looking at my steak and he's not listening to what I'm saying. And so what I do right at the end, I go, oh, I can't eat that last bit. Oh, what a waste, like that. And then we just swap the plates round and it's all in silence. And he eats this bit of steak and the look on his face after he's eaten it, he's like, you know those Facebook adverts that go viral of the deaf baby when it gets a hearing aid? And here's its mother talk. That's what it's like.
I grew up in Dudley, in the West Midlands. Yeah, a lot of people grow up there because that's the only thing there is to do. What are you doing? Growing. In the 50s, my parents emigrated from Jamaica to Dudley. Yeah, Nancy, I'm going to say that again just for you. They emigrated from Jamaica to Dudley. Why? What was my dad thinking? Bloody blue sky all the time. I want hail and sleet and snow. All this joyous reggae music. Where can a man get some Des O'Connor? We need pack your bags, we're going to Dudley. They made me go to church every Sunday. The Pentecostal Church of God in Prophecy. See, that's a black name. White churches are always called things like St. Thomas's. We're all outside going, St. Thomas's what? St. Thomas's Epiphany of the Shining Light of God in Christ in West Bromwich? Now that's a name. You arrive late for church. Sorry I'm late, I was reading the signs. It's as good as Stephen King. I went to Blue Coat Secondary Modern School in Dudley. A lot of bullying there. I mean, you know, back in the day, it was different as well. You get punched in the face, you keep it to yourself. Nowadays, you go straight to the head teacher. Peter Wilkins has been punching me every day since the start of term. I'm not going to teach him anymore. I got a daughter, 17. She's got a pet name for me. Taxi. Yeah, because the only time I see her is in the car. And even then she gets in the back. I'm like, how was school? She's like, you're not one of those cabbies who's going to talk all the time, are you? Her childhood's different from mine. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, it felt like everybody in Dudley had permission to beat me. It wasn't just my mum. You know, I'd be mucking about in the street, suddenly, bam, Mrs. Fearing from number 14 slapped me around the face. Then she'd drag me to my house and tell my mum, Mrs. Henry, I saw Len misbehaving in the street, so I beat him for you. Do you know what my mother said to this woman? Thank you very much. I have six other children. Help yourself anytime. We made a documentary in Dudley about my mom last year. My brother Paul said this on camera, no word of a lie. Lynn, when mom used to beat you, we used to think it was really funny. Bastards! Where's the solidarity in that? I'm getting my ass tore up. They're eating popcorn. They've pulled up chairs. Oh, it's not as funny as last week. Mom, work the ribs now, work the ribs. Mom, Ali Shuffle, remember? Ali, Bumbaye. Mom, like Popeye, remember? Febida, 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 febida. When Mom used to beat me, she always said the same thing. I'm not doing this for me, it's for your own good. Black parents are insane. I'm not doing this for me, it's for your own good. All the white people, what kind of parenting is that? Lamar's like, yeah, me too. Oh, man. You know what I'd like to see on television? Jamaican super nanny. Beat him if it's been bad. Beat him if it's been good. Beat him to show how much you love him. Beat him till your arms hurt so much. You have to beat him for making your arms hurt so much. She wouldn't mess about, would she? All right, no. This is what I call the naughty cheer. What's that for? You pick it up and you beat him with it. I'm not doing this for me. It's for your horn. Rotting good.
I'm a romantic. That's my problem. I love romance. Oh, I want to be in a relationship. I want to try edible pants. You can't edible solo. They don't let you. I'm absolutely fascinated by them. Here's why. It must be someone's job to keep edible pants from being too delicious. Because they've got to be okay in context, but there's a team of scientists that's working day in, day out, to make sure that none of us start craving them. Struggle being single. I'm a pick-me girl. Do you guys know what that is? A pick-me girl is a type of woman who's like me. I'm not like the other girls. Why? Because I like live music. Shackle me. I do like live music. Like, sometimes I wonder if anyone's going to see the band Placebo thinking it was The Cure. So I do think about that stuff. You. Love live music. I went to see ABBA Voyage. Have you guys seen it? If you haven't seen it, it's incredible. It's ABBA. They've got holograms now. But just before going into ABBA Voyage, I found out a little bit of industry goss, and I'm going to share it with you because I was pissed off. ABBA, the band, they're not even dead. And they've got holograms, is it? You can't have holograms if you're alive. Hey, ABBA, go to work. It's amazing. From start to finish, it's them at their best. They were 28 years old when they recorded it. Starts to finish, them at their best. A bit like this. So, ABBA Voyage. At the end of ABBA Voyage, sometimes the real ABBA, they come out. But the problem is that at this point in your life, you've only known them as hot 28-year-olds. So when 76-year-old ABBA comes out, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look like them. It looks like their parents have come to pick them up. I am a pick-me girl. I lie about my interests constantly, I do. My new thing now is I pretend to like football. Now, I want to like football, I really do. I really respect it as a sport. My problem is too much of it has happened. And no one will let me catch up. Like, everyone needs to stop playing for like 5 years and then I'll start casual season one. Episode one. Now, the real reason I'm trying to get into football is because basically I met this guy. Thank you. And, oh my God. So he told me that he could have. Do you guys know him? That's weird. He does have a lot of friends. He said he could have gone professional. But then, and this is so sad, just before the trials, he didn't have the skills. He didn't have the skills, the work ethic, or the natural talent. So close.
My girlfriend said to me, "Have you been having sex behind my back?" I said, "Who the fucking hell do you think it was?" And another thing, it wouldn't kill you to look round once in a while. Check how I'm doing. Well, I'm Jimmy Carr, and we've got Alan Carr on the show later on. How about that? I keep on getting mistaken for Alan Carr, so what I've done is I've stopped sucking men off. Don't get the wrong idea. You know, I'm a very gay-friendly act. I was asked last year to judge Mr. Gay UK. I said, no problem at all. He's against nature and against God, and he's going to hell. Right, who have we got in the audience this evening? We've got Nikki Hambleton-Jones is in. Hello. I've seen your show. Yours is the one where you get ladies naked and then they cry. We've all been there. For me, that's a very successful Friday night out. Have we got James Morrison? Is James Morrison in the house? Where's he? Can't believe it. Hello, James. How are you? An amazing musician, especially if you find James Blunt a bit rocky. You Give Me Something is an amazing song. You Give Me Something is my favourite song ever about chlamydia. My favourite, I love it. Dean Macy's here, where's Dean Macy? Dean Macy? You're our hope for Beijing, aren't you, in the decathlon? I love the decathlon. You know, it's where you do 10 different things, isn't it? Sort of jack of all trades, master of none. If you don't mind me saying. The 2012 Olympics is going to cost £8 billion, which is, you know, a lot of money. It's probably going to bankrupt London, but you can't put a price on two bronze medals in cycling. Incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, the highest speed ever achieved on a bicycle was done by a British man, 166 miles per hour on a bike. It was recorded at a level crossing. £8 billion is a lot of money. I mean, for that kind of money, we could have another 3 weeks in Iraq. I don't have a stalker, but I do have a woman that sends me pants in the post. Thanks, Mum. People ask me how I relax, so I tell them. I put Smarties tubes onto cats' legs to make them walk like a robot. If I'm really stressed, I make them go down the stairs. It's adorable, they look so confused. I realise some of you will be worried about the cat. Don't worry about the cat. If it's hurt, if it breaks its leg, it's already got a splint on. I should warn you, don't kick off this evening. I'm middle class, but I'm hard. al dente, you might say. If you got the al dente reference, you're middle class too, well done. I've got quite a posh voice though. Would you agree with that, Hammersmith? Yeah. It's quite a posh voice, but we've all got a phone voice. Mine's quite breathy. I quite like those phone sex lines. I like them because they're the only place in the world where premature ejaculation is an advantage. I once came in under 75 pence.
I tried to buy bedding not so long ago. Has anybody done that? No! Where does bedding come from? You just accumulate bedding, don't you? All your bloody... Has anybody here tried to buy a duvet? Have you? How did you get on?
Not too well.
Not too well? Did you come up against the old TOG rating system? It's like the Spanish Inquisition in there, isn't it? I went into Debenhams. I said, I'd like a duvet, please. He said, what TOG do you want? I said, what watch? He said, what TOG? I said, what watch? He said, what TOG? I said, what watch? I said, I can hear you. I just don't know what the hell you're talking about. What is a TOG? I went to school. We did metric. We did feet and inches. Nobody ever mentioned TOGs. What the bloody hell is a TOG? She said, it's the thickness of the duvet. I said, all right, I'll have a million. I was thinking of torches again, right? She said, you can have 8, 10.5. 12. I said, 0.5? 0.5 of a TOG? Now you're giving me 0.5. I don't know what a TOG is. How am I supposed to know if I want 0.5 of a TOG? She said, well, when are you going to be used there? I said, at night. Why do you think I'm going to be used there? It's a duvet, isn't it? When do people normally use duvets? I think I only go to bed at Friday lunchtimes or in the ad breaks, so when Jupiter aligns with Mars, it's a duvet. She said, but will you be using it 52 weeks of the year? I thought, no, I'm going to sell it to cash converters and buy it back every now and again. That seems to make a lot of sense. She said, if you're buying it at this time of year, get a 12.5. I said, what do you mean if? What do you mean if I'm buying it at this time of year? I'm here, aren't I? What other time of year can I be buying it? I said, are you here? I'm here. This is the sale. This isn't a dry run. This is Debenhams, not the Italian job. I'm not casing the bloody joint. Let's do it now. Oh, it's not even finished. I'm not even halfway through. She said, well, how much do you want to spend? I said, if you're selling it now, about £30. She said, oh, you'll have to have feather. Oh, you'll have to have feather for that. Oh, you'll have to have a feather one for that price. I said, that's all right, I'll have a feather one. That sounds all right. Oh, no, they get a bit prickly. Oh, they get a... Did you have this? They get a bit prickly, the feather ones. It's the quill bits, you see, the quill bits. They get a bit prickly. I thought, well, what the hell are you doing filling a duvet with prickly quill bits? I can't think of anything worse to fill a duvet with than something prickly, unless you've got them out the back full of stabby things or burny stuff. I said, I just want a nice, soft, comfortable duvet. Is this too much to ask? Just give me a nice, soft, comfortable duvet. She said, well, get down then. I hit the deck like my nerves had gone. She said, get up. I said, you said get down. She said, I meant get down instead of feather, you bloody idiot. Get down instead of feather. I said, all right, I will have down. At last, we're getting somewhere. I will have down. Give me, she said, do you want duck or goose? I said, I'm going to punch you in a minute. Damn you in a minute. I don't care if it's duck or goose. I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to sleep under the bloody thing. All right, duck, duck. She didn't. I punched her. She went down. I said, duck, I told you, duck. She said, I thought you meant duck instead of goose. I thought you meant, I said, no, you started that shit. I couldn't care less whether it's duck or goose. She said, but goose is much more comfortable than duck, sir. Goose is much more comfortable than duck. I thought, is it? Is it really that much more comfortable? How much more comfortable than duck and goose be? Have you ever seen a particularly uncomfortable duck, madam? Because I haven't. Have you ever had a duck waddle up to you going, it's all right for them geese, this is bloody killing me, this.